You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Amigos, welcome to the One of Us review of Gabacho, which is what this movie probably should have been called since nobody says gringo anymore. But indeed, it is Gringo, the new movie that is kind of brought to you by the Edgerton brothers in one way or the other. Joel Edgerton is one of the main stars of the movie, and his brother Nash is the director. Here, we're dealing with the romp as it is, and, you know, let's get started off with the introductions. I'm Bo.
I'm Laura.
And I'm Mike.
And I think, oddly enough, so this is one of those movies that if you've seen a lot of movies and you watch the trailer for, you think immediately to yourself, wow, this has got a lot of star power and a lot of talent in it. But I've seen movies that are kind of what this movie purports to be from the trailer, and they can really go either way. And I'm kind of delighted, and I think everybody here is kind of delighted that this really hit the mark. It's a fun little romp of things going awry, very farcical plans not working out,
Super fun.
When I first saw the trailer for this, I actually had no idea what the fuck was happening in it, because every trailer for it seemed to try to be as vague as possible.
To their credit, and I think, you know, many movies try to do that. All you can really establish from the trailer is the David Oyelowo's character is in Mexico. He has somehow been kidnapped, and he puts a phone call into his bosses, Charlize Theron and Joel Edgerton, and tells them, I've been kidnapped. But that is not really what is occurring here. Joel Edgerton is the CEO, and his and Charlize Theron is his co-president. Of a pharmaceutical company that have basically, they've invented a cannabis pill. So it's called Cannabex, and all the positive medical effects that you get from cannabinol, you would get from taking this pill. They're basically a venture capital pharmaceutical firm. They're betting that, as the law catches up with them, that they're going to be able to market this and be, rich beyond the dreams of Croesus. But because the laws are not quite there yet, as we all know, they have opened their production facility in Mexico. Enter David Oyelowo's character, who is,
good.
He's a middleman.
He's
so nice.
He's Nigerian Dudley Do Right. he's one of Joel Edgerton's friends, and he's basically their head of operations. He's the guy they've been sending down to Mexico to oversee the stuff and be their liaison. And he's not necessarily running their books or anything like that, but he is overseeing a lot of things. He's kind of the third or fourth man on the totem pole, as it were.
The most honest fellow
and
ever.
He's,
oh my God.
He's honest too. In this movie, it establishes a fault. He has always played by the rules his whole life. And as a result, he's become something of a sad sack. He's married to Thandie Newton, who he loves very much. Joel Edgerton, as stated before, is one of his best friends. And he's still kind of waiting for the payoff, as he was brought into this company and told that when this makes us rich beyond the dreams of Croesus, we're going to share the wealth.
Like, we're doing this together, buddy.
And one of the opening scenes, his accountant sitting down with him going like, there's a lot of rumors going on about a merger, and I don't know if, I know this guy is one of your best friends, but have you noticed he has a vanity plate? Because he's an asshole.
Have you noticed he's a douche?
He's an asshole. Yep. And it goes from there. That's one of the best scenes, actually.
I agree. I think the guy who does play his accountant is only in there for just a little stretch, but it's a beautiful, beautifully written scene of exposition where you're immediately set up to lowers your expectations about Joel Edgerton's character, that he is stacking the deck.
Well, it's set my expectations for the jokes, too, because, like, at that point, everything is still a little exposition-y in the beginning.
Right.
But that's, like, the first big joke in the entire thing is his conversation with his accountant. And from then on, I'm like, oh, I'm ready I'm all for this.
I'm ready for this message. Yeah. No, and all the acting was fantastic in this.
It's an incredible cast. Everybody in here, even people who are not necessarily given a lot to do,
like Thandie Newton,
you know, who is like terrific and is, you know, kind of hitting she's hitting this new amount of fame because of Westworld, but you know, she's kind of playing a wife and she's in a couple of crucial scenes, but you know, it very much revolves around David Oyelowo's character, who is again sent to Mexico, and at first Charlize Theron and Joel Edgerton they come along with him, because they started this out unknown to David Oyelowo's character Harold, they have kind of made this under the table deal with the guy who's heading up their operations in Mexico, that he has been selling product, if you will, you know, they never really say whether it's raw product or the pill itself, to a guy who's high in the cartel.
He's a local drug dealer.
Fortunately, at this crux of film history, or unfortunately, depending on how you want to see it, is called La Pantera or El Pantera Negro, the Black Panther.
I think it's great that it's happening. Also because the movie's called Gringo, but it's about a black guy.
Right. It was so funny.
Like, I felt like it knew what it was doing because of that sort of thing.
And sure, and if you speak a little Spanish, like, every time anybody refers to him in Spanish, it's like, it's the black guy.
Yeah, the black guy.
Negrito, el negro.
That was, I don't know, it was really, the hijinks began, and they continued. There are a lot of jokes and a lot of payoffs, a lot of setups and payoffs.
There's a lot of setups, nice, like, here and there that you at first you're like, well, I don't really know where that's going to go, but then it just sort of randomly happens, like, halfway through the movie.
Sure. And as David Oyelowo kind of finds out that you know, and I'm not going to give big spoilers, but basically he does figure out that he is getting the shit end of the stick in far more many ways than one.
He gets shit on so much
he
in this film.
Yeah, he's absolutely a sad sack, nebbish character.
He's got a great character arc. He just absolutely resists change or knowledge. I mean, he holds on hard to his ignorance.
You can't
for
help
quite
but root
time.
For him, though, for some reason because of it. Like, even though you're like, no, you should be doing something, like, try to do something else here at this point. But I can't help but admire the fact that you're so resistant about this.
He's so kind. You just want to just like, oh, you're so cute. Grab
like
cheeks.
Even when he's trying to get his little like revenge stuff going on, it's
so
like,
sad.
Oh, you're still, it's just, yeah, it's
so
just the saddest attempt.
Like the smallest thoughts ever.
And that is, as he finds out that things have gone awry for him and are not as they have seemed, he decides to kind of, you know, take things by the balls, as it's posited several times in the movie that he does not have the ability to do, and you know, get some revenge and get some of his own, and he starts staging some stuff, and hijinks really occur, and that's, you know, the movie is eminently watchable before that point, but that's when the ball really starts
it's
rolling.
It's quite clever.
This movie's so hard to talk about without spoiling anything.
Yeah.
There's so many things I want to talk about that are
I can't say anything.
Spoil specific things, but like, there's one thing that we can mention.
Well, let's go on. We'll do a little bit more on, you know, I think we've done as much as we need to expose non-spoilery. And we'll go on. We'll talk a little bit more about this movie and do some final thoughts, and then we'll do a brief spoilery section. Because it's a convoluted movie, especially if you watch this trailer, you're like, wow, there's kidnapping
there's
and betrayal and lots of things going on. And you know, there's certainly, if you haven't seen this movie yet, and you likely haven't when you're hearing this, you should kind of go in with a little bit of you know, wide-eyed nuance.
Yeah, like, because the thing is, we haven't even touched on Charlton Copley, like, at all.
Oh,
and he's,
God,
sure,
like, without really spoiling anything about him, he's Joel Edgerton's brother. And he's tasked with finding Harold to save his brother's ass, basically.
Right.
And he's so much fun from, like, the second you first see him.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, I'm interested in him, and I can't wait to see what he does from here on.
I think, really, this whole cast is really batting it out of the park here, you know, which is obvious from everybody, you know, who has seen the trailer knows that you've got some real heavy hitters here. Joel Edgerton, obviously, a guy who's been coming up the pike for a while and has been, you know, if not totally consistently delivering on enough bases to go like, oh, this guy's coming up the pike. Charlize Theron, you know, already an epitome of excellence. Yeah. David Oyelowo, who, after doing that incredible Star Trek in Selma as Martin Luther King Jr., is like totally playing against type and transformed. Like, yeah.
You would not even think they were the same guy.
Absolutely.
I was trying to figure out what I knew him from.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't remember. Oh, yeah. Holy shit. And then Charlton Copley, you know, it's kind of, in a way, this movie is like the British Commonwealth goes on vacation in Mexico.
Oh my
because
God.
The really one of the only American folks that you have in here that is an actual American is Amanda Seyfried.
Seyfried, yeah.
And I will say that is she's part of a subplot with she comes down to Mexico with her boyfriend for a variety
very British
of reasons.
Well.
Yeah, I know.
Is actually British and speaking with a British accent, and you know it's not a big nit, but I will pick it anyway. Is that their whole deal seems a little bit unnecessary.
You could have cut out a lot of their sequences, and the movie would have still made sense.
I think you could, and I was never looking at my watch through this movie. I think it comes in at a very good time, but yeah, other than her being there to basically. You know, tell Harold, like, hey, maybe the problem is that you just think that everybody is good, and it's not that everybody is good. The world is okay, but there are some shitty people in it.
Yeah.
And, like, her entire character, like, she doesn't, like, she's not wasted, per se.
She serves one purpose.
Yeah, she serves one purpose, which is to tell Harold, life isn't complete shit, and you'll be fine. And then, immediately after she says that, things go bad. But that's
the
joke.
If they had to backtrack through the storyline, if they're like, we need something to do, and then, well, let's make them a backstory.
Well, the fact, like, it still has a small payoff, like, honestly, which I enjoyed.
I liked it, too. Maybe it was a feel-good.
But she isn't really part of that payoff either way though, which is the only problem I had with that payoff. But there's so many other little side characters here and there that somehow have less to do, but have a bigger payoff afterwards than she did. And that's what bothered me.
There's a lot of rude mechanical types in this that are, you know, they're there for comic relief and they deliver rather well. Let's go ahead and do, you know, quick final thoughts, and then we'll talk a little bit about the stuff that we can't talk about without spoiling, just so folks can kind of get our perspectives on that. Michael, go.
Gotcha. So there's this movie's really funny, actually. Like, that's the thing. Like, there's so many sequences in this movie that just made me laugh so hard. And there's so many just random jokes that just caught me off guard because I didn't expect them. Like, the drug dealer has a running gag that I don't want to spoil, but it just kept making me laugh every time he did it. Even when it kind of gets fucked up at some point. But that's the thing about dark comedies is that it just worked because of it. But overall, like, everyone is really good in this film. The only real complaint I had is that they don't really use Amanda Seyfried too much. But even then, she was really good in what she was given. The same with her British boyfriend, who I don't really think I got the name of. But, like, overall, like, you root for Harold the whole way through. Like, you keep wanting him to survive this entire ordeal. And you just can't help but like the comeuppance of a lot of the characters that happens later on as well. Overall, I would have to give it 8 out of 10 weird metaphors.
I thoroughly enjoyed this, and I'm so happy that I did, because I really didn't know what it was going into it, but the acting's amazing. Everyone's character is so thoroughly fleshed out. You can tell the actors had a lot of fun delving into these. They had some really good words to work with, and yeah, it's unfortunate that, you know, I think Thandi Newton is fantastic, and she just has this throwaway role in here, which was unfortunate. And same with Amanda Seyfried. I mean, they're really underutilized. But I can see why they're doing it, because this film is so fun. Any actor would have jumped at it, and this is such a great cast. Super job. The music's also fun. The music's really fun. What else do I want to say about this? Charlton Copley. I was so happy. There are a lot of things, a lot of setups, a lot of payoffs. I laughed out loud multiple times, and it was so clever. This is just so much fun. I love this fucking movie, man. So I'm going to give it 10 KNRs.
Wow. All right. No, I enjoyed this quite a bit. You know, it has those elements of a caper film and a farce are really perfectly entwined here. And those are two genres that can go horribly awry if you just rely on the fact that, wow, we've got a really great cast. There's some really good writing and more than anything else, some really precise plot points that make this movie tie together wonderfully and make it just this absolutely fun ride. It reminded me, I am a fan, and many people are not, but I really like the movie, the Coen Brothers movie, Burn Before Reading. And this reminded me, this reminded me a lot of how that would be if the Coen Brothers decided to go lighter with it and make it more of a fun romp. You know, it's kind of got that, like, everybody's, you know, in it trying to, everybody in the cast is in it trying to win it, but there's a real element of cohesion and fun humor that I don't think even Burn Before Reading had. I definitely give this a wholehearted 9 banana peels out of 10.
I've been sitting here listening to your review, but you're about to do spoilers, so I'm going to go in the other room.
Yeah.
Because, Daniel, I really want to see this now.
Yeah. Go away.
All right, I'm going away.
Yeah, Burn After Reading, the main thing about that movie is that at the end, no one learns anything.
Sure.
Like, I love J.K. Simmons' fucking entire thing. They're like, so did I learn? He's like, fuck if I know.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot more just desserts. And you know, people come out of this kind of getting what they deserve and, you know, even getting some happy endings as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And I don't see Chris anymore. So let's go into the spoiler part of this thing. So
many dead people.
There's
yay!
So many dead people in this movie, but you can't help but laugh at some of the deaths because
I was really impressed because they have a scene where, you know, characters are brought in to talk to the cartel boss.
Yeah.
And unlike a lot of portrayals of people with that kind of power, he does not fuck around. He's like, yeah, okay, cut this guy's jaw. Great, you guys have delivered me my package. Shoots both of them. Yeah. And it's just like, yes, that's how people like that behave.
Exactly.
Like, they don't really fuck around. You know, they're not twirling their mustaches.
But at the same time, he was fucking around at the same time.
Oh, I know.
But that's what made him kind of terrifying, though, to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you know,
the joke, it didn't get old for me. It was so funny.
But he's just like, I want to have a conversation, but if you're not capable of having that conversation with me, well,
then
fuck
you. The things he says,
oh my God,
through some of the movie, like, because he goes from like being this horrible person to just like, you're learning to swim, come towards me.
Yeah, no, he's very well realized, you know, it was kind of
this
like,
thing.
And it's such a darker movie, Sicario, but there were like little tiny elements that it was just like, well, I really feel that I'm getting, you know, a lot more of an accurate portrayal than you would of you know, Mexico and,
right,
you know, some of the problems and some of the non-problems that go on in Mexico and in Ciudad de Mexico. And
it makes,
you know,
Joel Edgerton's like thing when he's talking to the guy who runs the factory of like, I'm not afraid of your whatever. Kind of
thing. Exactly. I'm not afraid of the factor in your country that is like,
he's like, I'm not here anyway.
Thousands of people. Yeah.
He's like, I'm fucking gone anyway. Yeah. I don't give a fuck about
this America.
Doing.
Yeah, and they are, you know, when it comes down to it, him and Charlize Theron are the gringos. They're the most horrible people in the cast. The ugly Americans.
It was like everything about this movie seemed to be the opposite of what you would expect, or everyone was playing against type or having a conversation that would belie what they were like the drug dealer.
Sure.
having this lighthearted conversation. He's a reprehensible person, you know, killing people.
Yeah, there
everything. There's so many things like that.
The people in here, you know, with the exception of like, you know, Edgerton and Theron are definitely, they are set up as the baddies, and indeed they remain the baddies.
Boy, man, they is heavy-handed.
They are, you know, and it sometimes gets a little heavy-handed with that, but everybody else is kind of these fully realized multi-dimensional characters, yeah. Especially Sholto Copley, who's, you know, basically an ex-mercenary.
So good.
Who has, you know, kind of seen the light and had a spiritual awakening, and when he's contacted, he's like down in Haiti helping hurricane victims, and he, you know, the only reason he kind of gets involved with this is because he's like, well, if I make a little money by helping rescue this guy, then
it's like I can buy more supplies.
I can buy more supplies. People. You know, we can help people more.
The needs of the many over the one.
Yeah. And he's also, you know, obviously being emotionally manipulated by his brother.
Yeah, but it's really lovely to watch Charlize Theron. I mean, I'll watch her in anything. She's just dominates the screen.
She comes just shy of eating the scenery on this one. Because
I don't even know about shy. Like, she eats the scenery a lot.
She is,
you know, just this alpha female who is
She's alpha.
When she decides she wants something, she is going to get it, and she will use every tool in her power. And, you know, it kind of sets up this you know, very, very simple scene, but it sets up the fact that, you know, she's an ex-pageant performer. And she's
so awesome.
Yeah, she's like, I'm getting the fucking blue ribbon here. There's the, you know, I'm walking away with a sash.
Yeah, and out of the two, she hit a small character arc.
Yeah.
Out of the two, because like Joel Edgerton doesn't really have any character arc at all, other than like you're a terrible person.
No, they really are. They're set up from the front. It's just like these guys are they're tremendous dicks, and tremendous dicks they remain.
As for the wife, the main reason I didn't have so much problem with her was that even with whatever little she had, she's still very integral to Harry's story.
Yeah. And Fanny
Newton, as well as her comeuppance.
The big spoiler that Fanny Newton is having an affair with Joel Edgerton.
Which is easy to tell.
And she's planning on leaving Harold. But in a way, you know, she's doing what, to an extent, David Oyelowo does, is she's making a grab for the brass ring in the best way that she can. And, you know, it works out for him better than it works out for her. Let's just put it that way.
But that's and that's the main reason I have an issue with it. Because, like, when certain people get their comeuppance, it shows her a lot.
Yeah.
So I felt like she did get her a big, big payoff.
Yeah.
Whereas Amanda Seyfried's just like, happy birthday, I guess.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay, that's cool. Like, why would you know that?
I do agree. I don't know why. Yeah.
I am glad that they didn't go with the pat answer of having Harold and Sonny, who's...
I was really glad that they didn't
Seyfried's, to make them a romantic pairing because
I agree.
I don't really feel there's any you know chemistry between them, and obviously the age parity is off, and you know God knows Hollywood has done that enough.
Yeah,
way too much.
Like there's a lot of there's so many great little twists and turns here that like you said, there's certain characters that play against type. There's certain characters that play against their own type.
Yeah.
In this, like, there's these two characters that you're introduced to early on, who are the hotel managers.
Oh.
And even they sort of have a random turn like in the middle of the movie.
Sure.
Yeah. And opportunistic.
It's
I mean, they're kind of, you know, they're these clownish, you know, almost Abbott and Costello type of roles, but. You know, they really serve their purpose, and they flesh them out well, and I don't feel that either one of them becomes a set piece.
Luckily. Although at one point they do become a set piece.
Well.
Yeah, and then they're done. We're done for you.
You know.
I had to make that joke.
We are still, you know. But
I didn't get tired in this movie. I didn't look, I didn't look at my watch. I didn't think about the passage of time, and I didn't get taken out of the movie.
I wanted more from certain characters. Like, I wanted certain characters to just keep having their little moments. I wanted there to be a little more about the kidnapping stuff. I wanted a little more about even the predicament of what was going on. But that thing is, it works exactly the way it needs to at the end of the day, though, and I can't fault the movie for that.
Yeah.
For being very smart about its turns and its twists. Although some of them are a little outlandish, but still, you know, chips, I guess.
Well, and it's, it is a farce, and it has farce cool elements, so, you know, nothing wrong with that if you can get it. And,
it has no Brad Pitt getting shot in the face, though.
But don't worry, people will get shot. and surprise you anyway.
Yeah.